If the Senate will please come back to order. Come to order.
Are we out of order?
Yeah, I like the back to order. I meant come to order, but you are out of order. All right. I apologize for the delay. There's a lot going on. Looks like we're probably ready for roll call.
Roll call, Wednesday, February 17th. Anderson?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Broner?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Escobel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Yep.
Hicks?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Excused.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Platern?
Excused.
Wasserberger?
Excused.
President Nicholas?
Aye, here.
27 present, 3 excused.
If you'd please join us with the prayer, be led by Pastor Billy Minder. Just let me give you a microphone, excuse me.
Mr. President, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago I was asked to, given the privilege to be chaplain of the week, and Senator Escobel asked me to pray for his grandson, Tay, born with severe cerebral palsy, and wasn't expected to live past age 2. And he gave me a picture of him today. He's 8 years old, doing well. And a lot of people have been praying for him. We pray for him every session that I've had the opportunity to do that. So today, as I pray for the senators, I want to pray for Senator Escobel and his grandson, Tay, too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you hear us, that you listen, you respond. And today, Lord, we have a lot to do and a short time to get it done in. And there can be a lot of stress and tension as people see things differently. I pray that you could give people wisdom, ability to hear each other out, and to make a good decision for the people of Wyoming. And today, Father, I want to pray specifically for Paul Barnard from Evanston, from Riverton, Eli Bebout, from Douglas, Brian Boner, from Sheridan, Bruce Burns, and Dan Dockstetter from Afton, Ogden Driscoll from Devil's Tower, and from Cheyenne, Fred Emmerich. And Lord, we thank you so much that you hear us and listen to us, and we just pray for your endurance and your strength today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. If you please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Play ball.
You're going to have to come up with something better for somebody. We're at that order of business of reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 16, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. The new business, the doctor of the day is Beth Robitaille, MD. I don't think is Beth here. Not here yet. And then we also have a resident here, Mark Babcock from Casper. Mark's not here. The nurse. The nurse is Cynthia Labonte. Hey! And as you know, Cynthia is the director of the Board of Nursing. It says here she's from Cheyenne. That's not true. She's from Laramie. That's where her kids grew up. We know that. But we're glad to have you. Yes, Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, with us today on the outside of the fishbowl is the Wyoming Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, the program directors, member services that serve everyone throughout the state. I'm sure people from your part of the state are out there, so I'd like to welcome them to the Senate.
Yeah.
Hey!
Hey!
Senator, Minority Floor Leader Moffitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I've been asked to remind the Senate about the whammy legislative lunch this afternoon at noon, which will be at the Cheyenne Depot. It'll give you an opportunity to spend some time with this year's cohort of whammy students, an exceptional group that will be joining us in the afternoon, and I'll introduce them then.
Thank you. See, today in Wyoming history, in 1933, the Blaine Act ended prohibition at the federal level. Contrary to popular belief, it didn't necessarily end everywhere in the United States, as in many states, including Wyoming, had separate and additional prohibition statutes. Session status. Today's day 8 of the proposed 20-day session. The reminder today is Thursday is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee of the House of Origin. Friday is the last day for committee of the whole in the House of Origin. We're at that order of business of reports on standing committee. If the reading clerk would please read in the reports.
February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, to whom was referred Senate File 58, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Boner, Kraft, Driscoll, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February 17, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 6, First Judicial District Number of District Judges, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, and Von Flatern, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February 17, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 89, Workers' Compensation, Time for Requesting Hearing, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, and Von Flatern, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February 16, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, to whom was referred Senate File 52, State Shrub, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman. February 16, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution number 4, Labeling for Genetically Engineered Items 2, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman. February 16, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, to whom was referred Senate File 90, Lifetime Game and Fish Licenses Purple Heart Recipients, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman. February 17, 2016, Mr. President, Committee Number 12, Rules, to whom was referred Senate File 91, State Penal Facilities Review, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Kraft, Nicholas, Perkins, and Rothfuss, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February 17, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, to whom was referred Senate File 92, State Construction Project, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Kraft, Nicholas, Perkins, and Rothfuss, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February 17, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 74, State Miners Hospital Board Employees, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman. February 17, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 39, Cease and Transfer Priority List, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. Senator Ross, Chairman.
The next order of business, we will switch the order of readings. I forgot to tell the reading clerk, or chief clerk, but we'd like to do third reading on final passage first. Would that work? So without objection, we'll do third reading on bills, get those out before we go into second reading, which is going to take much longer. There's no objection. We are that order of business of third bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
I do have a consent list. I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 10, Firearms Exemption from Execution. Senate File 15, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility. Senate File 29, Legislator Participation in State Benefit Plans. And Senate File 81, Schools Capital Construction Charter School Leases.
Would any of the members like any of the bills removed from the consent list? There being no request, the question is, having been read three separate times, shall the following bills pass the Senate? Senate File 10, Firearms Exemption from Execution. Senate File 15, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility. Senate File 29, Legislator Participation in State Benefit Plans. Senate File 81, School Capital Construction Charter School Leases. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, I will reread any votes that are not aye. On the consent list, Anderson?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Geis? Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 10, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 10, 30 aye. Senate File 15, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 15, 30 aye. Senate File 29, are there any changes? Case, conflict. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 29, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 conflict. Senate File 81, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Case? Case, aye to no. Burns? Burns, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 81, 18 aye, 12 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Files 10, 15, 29, and 81 have all passed the Senate. It was one of the most interesting ways I've ever seen to raise an exemption for bankruptcy. Senator Case, are you ready? Is your amendment out? I forgot his amendment. Let's make sure. See what we've got. 3002. I think we're just going to make sure he said a few. We'll make sure this is the right one. I think that is the correct one, Senator Case. So I'm going to go ahead and have the bill read in with a reading clerk. Third reading of the bill, Senate File 36. Please read in the bill.
Senate File 36, LLC Member and Manager Liability, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to limited liability companies.
Can you vote on one? Senator Case, it turns out that Standing Committee Amendment Number 3 has not been voted on, I believe. Pardon me? Let's do that. Third reading Amendment Number 1 was it read in? It has been read in prior days, but not voted on.
I would like to ask that that amendment be pulled, Mr. President.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 36 is withdrawn. We're now at third reading amendment number 2. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 36, third reading amendment number 2, delete the page 1, line 2.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36 and ask for favorable consideration by the Senate. Mr. President, this was probably the most important bill that we will have in the area of corporate law this session, without question. And the reason we're bringing the bill is to clear up an interpretation and to preserve the benefits of the limited liability company form of organization, which Wyoming, pioneered. It's very important to people that do business in Wyoming and people that seek to organize their businesses under our corporate law. There was a specific Supreme Court case which allowed for the veil of the corporation, the limited liability company, actually, to be pierced under circumstances that several of the practitioners in the area say bad cases make bad law, and this was a terrible, terrible, terrible case. But the outcome of the ruling is that it is not clear that our limited liability company form of organization now offers protection to a member's assets that are the necessary level of protection to allow them to enjoy that security. So, Mr. President, it's been very difficult to kind of craft this right. The original bill from the Corporations Committee went right to the specifics of the things that the court considered and said you just can't consider that. Well, we've had a lot of input, a lot from you, Mr. President, and I thank you for that, and other members of the bar, and we've decided there's better ways to do this. So the amendment before you seeks that better way. It actually takes out of the bill the Part B that we had before, and we're not going to amend Part B, But we are going to add a Part C and a Part D. And if you look there, Part C takes four elements that were in the specifics. They're in corporate law in these cases a lot. They're specifically cited in the Supreme Court case that I mentioned. And so Part C says, for purposes of imposing liability on any member or manager of the limited liability company for the debts, obligations, or other liabilities of the company, a court shall consider only the following factors, no one of which, except fraud, is sufficient to impose liability. So no one of these by themselves is sufficient. So you've got fraud, inadequate capitalization, failure to observe company formalities as required by law, and the intermingling of assets in Romanet 4. But here's the D part, which I think the practitioners in the case say, think that D is the most important part of this. It says, D, in any analysis conducted under subsection C of this section, a court shall not consider factors intrinsic to the character and operation of a limited liability company, including a limited liability company with a single member or manager. Factors intrinsic to the character and operation of a limited liability company include but are not limited to Romanet I, treatment as a disregarded or pass-through entity for tax purposes. That's the most important thing in the element of this case. Two is flexible operation or organization, including a little less formality. Three, the exercise of ownership, influence, and governance by a member or member. Four, the protection of a member and manager's personal assets from the obligations acts of the limited liability company. So do you see how D provides an interpretation of how you use C? That's the purpose. You can see whose name's on this amendment, and I ask for your support.
On the amendment, any further discussion on the amendment? There being none, the question is, on third reading amendment 2 to Senate File 36, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We're now back on the bill for third reading. Is there any further discussion on the bill? There being none, will the Senator, I thought you were leaning on the conduit. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, not speaking for or against this bill, I'm just curious. What we're doing basically is we're strengthening the LLC, and I understand it's in reaction to a recent court case. But we were also running into problems a few years back of Wyoming being host to a number of shell companies that were being used for questionable purposes, if not fraudulent. And I was wondering how this legislation is going to affect that practice.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, frankly, I don't think this legislation has any impact on that issue. That issue arose because we have made our laws very business-friendly, where it's easy to incorporate in Wyoming, and it makes it easier for the legitimate businesses, and it also makes it easier for the crooks. We have dealt with that largely, Mr. President, by strengthening the registered agent provisions, making sure that they're real and the registered agents know how to get a hold of the actual corporation. There were some abuses in that area, and that's what dealt with that. This bill is a help to the legitimate businesses, and for all the reasons that corporations originally evolved as a way of economic organization, they enable a business to operate without putting the owner's personal assets at risk unless there's some real abuse here, and this further defines that. So I think this bill will help legitimate businesses, Mr. President, without doing anything that would either encourage or discourage the crooks, and there are crooks in all forms of human endeavor. We've dealt with those and the abuses there with other legislation, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the bill? There being none, will the reading clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, the Senate File 36, having received the majority vote of the majority members elected the Senate, Senate File 36 has passed the Senate. With that order of business of bills on second reading. We're going to do the budget bill first, or we do the other bills first? That one looks like the amendments are coming out. Senate File 9, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 9, Railroad Quiet Zones.
Any further discussion on Senate File 9? No amendments. Senate File 9 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we get these scripts up here, and as I've told you, that talk about the accolades of our dignitaries that come in, and this one's pretty phenomenal. It says, well, Senator John Barrasso is a member of the Senate. It's pretty much all. No. You don't get out that easy. Wait. He doesn't. You know the thing about it is I've got the mic. So it's our pleasure, my pleasure, to welcome Senator John Barrasso back to the Wyoming Legislature. We all know that he served with us from 2002 to 2007. Before being sworn in as the United States Senate. He is currently serving on the Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Indian Affairs Committee, also serves as chairman of the Senate Republican and Public Policy Committee, the chairman of the Senate Western Caucus, and he's also prominent in every photograph that ever exists of anybody that's on the majority party, and he's sitting right there. You can always see that good old snout hanging out there. But would you all please welcome Senator John Barrasso.
Thank you.
Now you can have your mic. Well, it's good to be, good to be back here at the legislature, but I've never been in this building before. But it's good to be with each and every one of you. You know, Mike and Cynthia and I continue to believe that we learned the lessons to best do our job. Right here as members of the Wyoming Legislature. We work closely together. We get home every weekend. We want to listen to what people have to say. And, you know, our respect for the institution is such that just a couple of weeks ago, when you met on that Sunday, in the Super Bowl Sunday, we were all there to be with you, to hear what you had to say and to listen, and to, because that's what we believe our job is, to listen, not to lecture. So thank you for your continued leadership, for your friendship. As I mentioned, I'd served with 19 of you. Who are still here, and when I was in the legislature, Wasserberger came over from the House, but serve with you and work closely with you. We have a great deal of respect. We talked about the AML funding. I think it was the lessons that Mike and Cynthia and I learned here that helped us get that money that is Wyoming's money and get it in Washington. Didn't really talk about it very much, but went around quietly gaining support, making sure everybody knew what the issues were. Mike is the captain of our team, called the play. I got to be on the conference committee, and we got it in to the transportation bill, and then Cynthia had the big job of making sure it didn't get stripped out in the House. So I'll tell you, we are really going to miss Cynthia. Today at lunch, or before I get into that, after we met with you all that Sunday a week ago, Mike and I the next night had a telephone town hall meeting, you know, where we talked to a lot of people from around the state of Wyoming, and they talked about the things that we had talked about. They talked about the president's budget, the $10 a barrel tax that he wants on a barrel of oil, which will raise gas prices for Americans. He talked about, what's happening with energy and a number of different things. Talked about the so-called clean climate bill that the Supreme Court has overturned. And then one guy called in, and he didn't want to talk to me, and he didn't want to talk to Mike, but he asked if we could patch the call along to Al Simpson. Wyoming voters still know how to keep you humble. It's today, I hope you're able to join folks at lunch because the WAMI students, the medical students, I think there are 20 first-year medical students who are here today, and I want to congratulate the legislature and the foresight to investing and continuing to invest in that program. This is the best way to populate the state of Wyoming with capable, qualified doctors to take care of us when we get older, Ogden, but to take care of the people of Wyoming. It is a great investment, and the way that it's set up, they're most likely to want to come back to practice in Wyoming and stay here and raise their kids here, raise their family here, and be in part of so many of the small communities all around Wyoming. So I appreciate your commitment to them. I know you have a lot of work to do, huge challenges this year, but you got to just remember the people that moved out here, the early pioneers, they came out with optimism looking to the future. We have been through times before like this. We are a strong and resilient people. And all you need to do is go to the Centennial Ranch celebration every year at the State Fair. The families that have been in, here for 100 years and what they've been through, what they've been able to survive. And as one of the guys last year said, I said, tell me about your family because you have multiple generations. He said, we're a good family. We fight when we can and we stick together when we must. And this is a year when we must stick together. So right now, as we're here, there are, and I mentioned this to some of you at the conference, there are 33 Wyoming men and women serving in Afghanistan. They're in northern Afghanistan, north of Kabul, in a place called Bagram. And the guy that's the commander is a guy from Hewlett, Marcus Nyman, who he had previously been deployed to Iraq and Kuwait. Prior to that, he was a student at the University of Wyoming in ROTC. Prior to that, he was a kid I met at Boise State. And prior to that, he was a page right here at the Wyoming legislature. So when you think about these young, eager, enthusiastic interns, pages who work for you, and they have a lot to offer, and you never know which one of them is going to be keeping us safe and keeping us free in the years ahead. Anyway, it's wonderful to be back here to see each and every one of you. I don't want to take much of your time. I would just say God bless you. God bless Wyoming. God bless the United States of America. Thanks so much for letting me join you today.
Senator, thank you for taking your time out to come see us. We always enjoy hearing from you, and you're welcome back anytime. Senate File 40, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 40, Abandoned Mine Land Funds.
We have amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 1?
Senate File 40, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 20.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, after consulting with the majority floor leader and having his wise counsel prevail and enlightening me and bringing me out of the dark and showing me the light, I would move to withdraw this amendment at this time.
Without objection, second reading amendment number 1 is withdrawn. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 40. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 40, second reading amendment number 2, delete the...
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 40 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, what this does is go into the committee of the whole amendment that Senator good senator from Campbell County brought yesterday and deletes that amendment. There are problems with that amendment, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, and needs to be fixed. There are unintended consequences, I believe, in that amendment, and I'd urge your favorable consideration of the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask the body to support this amendment. One of the claims I made to you all was that this would not come directly out of YDOT's budget, that this was new money, and I was incorrect in that. It took A&I Budget Division to finally figure out, if you go all the way into the budget bill, it does take the money because they stripped YDOT of their severance and federal mineral royalties. It does take the money right out of them. And so I ask you to support this, and we'll come back with something different.
Any further discussion? If not, the question is on second reading number 2 to Senate File 40. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. Senate File 41, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
President, Mr. President, I ask that Senate File 41 be laid back for tomorrow.
Without objection, Senate File 41 is laid back for an additional day for second reading. Senate File 18, second reading of the bill.
Senate File.
What did I say? 68, I don't know why I got 18. Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, budget shortfall measures.
There are amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 68, second reading amendment number 1, page 7, line 13.
Majority Floor Leader Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 68. Members of the Senate, we had an amendment yesterday, committee of the whole amendment number 2, I believe, that talked about putting some sideboards on the amount of LISR that could be utilized for our budgets and spending for the state government. And in that language, we put in the word contingent appropriation, which would be exactly what it says, only contingent. It wouldn't go into the actual appropriation. It would come from the governor. What this amendment does, Mr. President, is if you look at on page specifically on line 7 through 10 of the amendment, we say that that would be for the contingent appropriation, but we add on starting on lines 12 through the end of the amendment that it would also be involved in the appropriation of the general budget bill, so I'd ask for your support.
Discussion on the amendment. There being none, the question is on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 68. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none, Senate File 68 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 75, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 75, criminal trespass to collect data amendments.
We have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment? 2 amendments.
Senate File 75, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 4.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75. Members of the body, this goes into our friend the criminal trespass legislation based on the discussions yesterday with the issue of crossing private and then ended up on the public domain and collecting data. I think that's a provision that we know that was pretty objectionable with the lawsuit that's currently been filed. So what this does is go into page 2, line 4, strikes the language or crosses, page 2, line 11, and it deletes or crosses, goes into page 2, line 15, gets rid of or, line 16 crosses, line 20 or crosses, line page 3, line 3, gets rid of or crosses. Page 3, line 7, gets rid of the or crosses. Goes down the line, page 3, line 14, strikes that from private land. But we're going to bring that back. This is just a wordsmithing amendment in page 3, line 14. That's just a wordsmith to make sure that we connect the geographic location and the legal description to the data. That's all that does is wordsmith that so that flows a little better so you can make that attachment. We bring back in the words from private land. So that's specific to private land in there. The next issue deals with page 3, lines 17 through 18. That's the issue we talked about, that the legal challenge associated with the violation of the First Amendment rights. We strike that language out of the bill. With that, Mr. President, I'd ask for your favorable consideration of a yes vote on the second reading amendment to Senate File 75.
Thank you for that explanation. Folks, let's just be careful as we talk about referencing to other bodies. We generally do not. It's frowned upon to discuss both the executive branch, what they're doing, and that would include the judiciary and other cases. We don't pass laws that are ex post facto, and frankly, we don't do things that go and try to influence case law. I mean, it's fine to bring it to the folks' attention that there's a lawsuit, but let's exercise care in how we reference these external issues, and we'll make the bills the way we think they should be without regard to these other matters. Is there any discussion, further discussion on second reading amendment number 1 by anybody? If there are not, the question is on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. We're back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? There being none, Senate File 75 having been read 2 separate times, the question is shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 76, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 76, Civil Trespass to Collect Data Amendments.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 76, second reading amendment number 1, delete the page 2, line 4.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 76. Members, remember, this is the civil side of the trespass. The first one we disposed with was the Criminal Act. There are mirror bills. This just brings it into the civil code. If we go through this, it does the same thing. The issue that we just dealt with is to dispose of the or crosses provision all the way through the bill. Gets down to line 13, page 3, line 14. Again, that's clarifying language. It's only from private land. And then also, line 3, page 16, again, from private land. It deletes, again, that same provision that we just discussed associated with the criminal side, associated with issues that were arisen with the idea that some First Amendment rights. So with that, members of the body, I would ask for your favorable consideration of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 76.
Any further discussion on the amendment? There being none, Senator Scott.
President, technical question for the sponsor. They're comparing these two amendments, and they do seem to be almost identical. On page 3, line 17, page 3, line 18, this amendment says delete, and the other one said strike. Is there any practical difference between those terms here, what we're doing? And why is that wording different?
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe there's a difference, and I think that's just the verbiage that our Legislative Service Office came up with, but I can check on that issue and make sure before third reading I get an affirmative answer on that.
Okay, if you would make sure that that amendment is read in, correct, check that reading of that. Any other questions on the bill? We're on second reading, so we have time to address that issue. There being none, the question is on second reading number 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 76 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 103, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 103, at-will employment contracts.
There appears to be no amendments. No discussion. Senate File 103 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. I think we're at that order of business of second reading amendments on the budget bill. Is that correct? Senator Meyer,
to the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, in the fishbowl back here, we have the Trail Elementary of Miss Brummel's class. And would you please help me welcome them to the Senate?
Trail Elementary.
Trail.
Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Trailblazer.
Senate File 1, second reading amendments. These are to the budget bill. The first item for consideration is second reading amendment number 1. Senate File 1, would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, Amendment Number 1.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this relates to the issue that we discussed yesterday in Committee of the Whole, with the difficulties with the adult developmental disability providers, the ones that provide the residential care for the more severely involved developmentally disabled adults. I recall to you that we discovered this in Committee 10 when we were reviewing the rebasement report, and we had testimony that caused me to be concerned about the financial solvency of these providers who are essential. If we were to lose a significant number of those, you would see these clients show up on our doorstep at the state, the Life Resource Center in Lander, and we'd have to take them, and that would be very expensive, be a real problem, and they are virtually all losing money. I asked for and got balance sheet and income statements for those providers. There were 10 of them. They cover about 90% of the residential adults here in the developmental disability program. 9 out of the 10 are losing money. The 10th has an 86% turnover rate in its staff. And it's going to have to pay its staff more, and it's going to lose money. So it's a real problem. When you look at the balance sheet, Mr. President, some of them are perfectly sound. They can stand the losses for an extended period. Some of them are not. And we are at real risk in this coming biennium of losing some. So what this amendment does is it removes $2.6 million from the Department of Health, from other line items there, and puts it in a contingency fund in the governor's office. And you can see the language. It's to keep them going if they're going bankrupt. The governor has to release the funds to the Medicaid program, and then they can't spend it until the Attorney General has approved the constitutional arrangements, make sure that how they're actually dispersing the money is constitutional. This, you have to be careful of Articles 16, Section 6, and some other provisions. And we've always been able to do it before in terms of spending money, but you have to be careful how you do it, so you have to have the AG's approval here. Mr. President, it is money in and money out. It doesn't increase or decrease the total budget, but it moves it around. And I would call the Senate's attention to the provision on the second page of the amendment that any time after July 1st, 2017, Director of the Department certifies the governor that funds appropriated to the Office of the Governor for the Bankruptcy Contingency Fund will not be expended. The governor can transfer those amounts back into the budgets that they came from. Frankly, Mr. President, it's my opinion that we have some risk of a sudden emergency in the next few months or the next year, but by 2017, if things are handled competently, they should have the problem resolved and it would be safe to turn this money back. And this procedure, Mr. President, gives the director of our health department a real practical incentive to get the problem solved, and I think that given enough time, he can do that. So that's why the provisions are written the way they are. It is a major problem, Mr. President, that we do need to deal with, do need to take some precautions so that we don't have accidents that will be very expensive to remedy, and I would urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Mr. President, thank you, and I appreciate our chairman of labor bringing this amendment. I, too, had a couple of constituents come to me during the interim with some major concerns in this area. My only question is just the flow of money and catching up to the notion of a contingency fund. I guess my fear would be that it may take a company going under completely, and then by the time we get through the bureaucratic process, are we even going to be able to resurrect that company, and what's going to happen to those clients in the meantime? I just fear, you know, there's such a thin line between barely surviving and barely being able to provide the services that we need for that adult population, that it doesn't take very much for these small providers to simply go under. And by the time we work that through the Department of Health, and then we work it through the Attorney General, I just maybe a little more conversation about whether we're going to be able to get any of this money to a company in time. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, would you please come to the up forward, Senator Case?
Mr. President, I also rise in support of this amendment. I do have a question for the sponsor about it. But, Mr. President, we need a strong system of to help people with developmental disabilities. We need it to work with our Life Resource Center and with these community programs. They need to work together, and they need to be strong, Mr. President. It's essential. My question with regard to this exact amendment from the good sponsor from Natrona County is that it's called a bankruptcy contingency fund. And then within the specifics of the amendment, it says the governor may release funds to the Medicaid program in the Department of Health as necessary to keep specific adult developmental disability residential providers in operation. So, and yet it's called the bankruptcy contingency fund. And this goes to the slightly shorter senator from Natrona County's point that if you have to rely on an actual bankruptcy to happen to get these funds, you're in trouble. And so I assume it's not that. And I just want to be very clear that things don't have to go that far because people's lives would really be jeopardized. So supporting the amendment and looking for a little bit more clarification.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure whether I'm on or against the amendment. We had a very lively, spirited, and very emotional debate on a very similar item with nursing homes a few years ago for those that were here. And we certainly want to avoid that that level of intensity. But, folks, in this system, private entities go out and they provide services to this vulnerable population, and they in many instances, if you take, for example, nursing homes, let's talk about them. They're engaged in a for-profit organization, and over time they incur debt. They incur a lot of things that would cause them to not be able to pay the bills, including such things as mismanagement. And while it may be the case that individual members have had the opportunity to look at balance sheets and believe that they can give you a full appreciation as to why these entities are failing and that somehow it's the state of Wyoming. Truthfully, folks, there are institutions throughout and companies throughout the state of Wyoming that are going to see bankruptcy. We don't volunteer to pay their debts. If you begin to look at what is the long-term, what's the state's role? The state's role is not to provide security for the operating firm undertaking the services. I think the sponsor of the amendment stated accurately, this is a vulnerable population, and it's the patients, the folks that are being cared for, the vulnerable population that is of our greatest interest. What we learned, and I think what we know, is that indeed bankruptcy can be a healthy result. And if an entity is moving towards bankruptcy, and part of that is because they have a legacy debt, they have secured debt, they have things that prevent, that drive up their cost of operation, bankruptcy is an important, sometimes a curing entity. Now, the question is, do they file a Chapter 7, which is a liquidation? Certainly, that would be a bad deal. If they file a Chapter 11 reorganization, you might want them to do it. This is reality of life. Look at airline companies. Pretty common. And through these processes, the entities can go through and shed debt. The debt that is shed is by folks that are in the business of loaning debt. That's part of the risk they assume when they go out to loan to these institutions. And then the question is, after the debt is shed and there's a bankruptcy reorganization plan with good management, there are often times where these institutions will need to have operating capital, cash collateral to operate. Now, it seems to me that's an appropriate time for the state to enter into the transactions. What we found in prior instances with nursing homes is that the Department of Health has significant capacity to accelerate, increase, do a number of things to make sure that, emerging entity would be a debtor in possession, but that emerging entity would have access to cash to operate to pay their payroll. And we have those tools available right now. What we want to make sure is that the Department of Health has the resources and the capacity to deal with these issues as they arise. But if you take a bankruptcy firm and say, we're going to give you more money, all you're doing is throwing it away. The money will typically be applied to secure debt, to pass bills, and you have no interest in that. What you want to do is make sure your dollars are being applied in the future towards the care of this vulnerable population. And the caution is that this is really, in my opinion, not the way to address the needs. We want to make sure that the tools are there. But when you say, hey, we want to avoid bankruptcies, that's not our job. In fact, bankruptcy, Chapter 11-7 reorganization may be a healthy situation. Our job is to make sure that those people are cared for, and you apply your dollars in the future to make sure they are. So I submit to you that we have tools. If the department says there may be times where we need to have the ability to...
Time, Mr. President.
...to loan debt, that would be fine. But we would not direct them to loan money to a bankrupt entity. Thank you.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. This... I'm somewhat not sure about this amendment yet, and let me explain why. What the Joint Appropriations Committee did with regards to the Department of Health, when the committee voted not to expand Medicaid as the budget was proposed, we had to do a number of things to try to make sure that the department could function with their existing budget. And so we exempted the department from, for instance, some of the global cuts. We gave the department a lot of flex with regards to its Series 100 and so forth. And we did that so that this department could absorb the $11.5 to $12 million Title V, 25 deficit. We did that so that he could function in other areas, but yet we didn't add money to the budget. So when you look at this, while there's no new money added in this amendment, it does place some restrictions or it does set some money aside from various line items. For instance, line 28, page 28, line 4, that's $600,000 from the director's office. May or may not be able to deal with that, I don't know. But public health is the next one, where we take $1 million from them and $1 million from aging. And so I'm really worried that given what JAC did, that this will further compound the Director Forslund's ability to manage his budget. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not. And then once again, I think as the president said, this is a vulnerable population, but I have some serious questions about, in essence, helping a provider or an entity avoid bankruptcy, and whether or not there's a constitutional implication that the tall senator seemed to mention, and I think is recognized in that, and that's why there's language in there about advice from the attorney general. So. I need to be further convinced that this is really a good way to go at this point in time.
Senator Beepout?
Thank you, Mr. President. Along that same line of thoughts, the problem I have, and I like the idea, and certainly there's a need out there for the adult DD waiver program. And I know there's some other amendments coming to deal with the rate bases and those kind of things that make a lot of sense to look at. Under the budget, the way we've given the flex authority to the Department of Health, the way I read this, we have a one-year window if something should happen. But after that one-year window, one and a half is July 1st of 17, do they have the flex within his department to cover those one-year budgets for those three items? And then, in fact, if he can certify that there's no need for it, then that money would revert to them and he could balance it. That's the question I have. So he would be able to internally do that and not hamper those programs. By the way, those are important programs, and I do not want to see them cut, particularly the director's budget. You know, we just lay everything on him and we ask him to do more for less. So that would be a question I would have the Appropriations Committee.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment for this purpose, although let me begin, Mr. President, by saying that I think this is the right thing to do. I think we want to have some flexibility. We want to make sure that this happens in the right way. I'm worried about what we're doing here. So, for example, when you go into the actual budget and you look at the director's budget, Mr. President, his total. The director's budget is a substantial budget. The total director's budget is, in administration, is roughly almost $11 million. However, out of that $11 million, 8 $1.6 million of that is simply in in payroll. Those are the people that run the office and run the Department of Health. And so out of that, you've got salary and payroll. My recollection from our testimony was that there was maybe a vacancy or two in that in this part of there's other vacancies elsewhere in the department, but there's only one or two very few vacancies in there. So when you take $600,000 out of the director's budget, ultimately he would have no other choice other than to go down and take out very little contractual services in there, only $50,000 of contractual services. And then in other places, there's just he doesn't have that kind of flex in that particular budget item. When you go to the other two, public nursing is a very substantial budget. The public health financing is the largest, outside of school finance, is probably the largest. Those two are the largest sections or budgets in the entire state. So while it may be appropriate to move things right in there, I'm just wondering about as we go about this, that's putting a lot of stress on a place where it's not there and ultimately may not have anything. You know, you're going to look at potentially having to reduce positions to the extent of $600,000 unless the relief provisions in the second part of the the second half or the second page of the amendment come about. So maybe the right way to go. I think the good senator's on to something here, but I don't know that this is the right way to do it.
Senator Dockstader? I thought you were up. Okay, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment. I think we're a part of the party that's causing the problem. These entities operate with Medicaid, and Medicaid decides what they pay them. The problem, as I get it from the testimony I've heard, is that the payment is too small, so they can't continue to operate. And most of these DD waiver constituents are on Medicaid, so that's the only payment that they have. I would hope that the director could increase some of those payments, not necessarily keep the guy out of bankruptcy, but increase the payments so they could be a viable entity to operate. So I think the bankruptcy is a little different than typical bankruptcy because we have the power to change their income by the fact of how much we pay for Medicaid. And that's been the problem for some time, that we don't pay enough. So I'd recommend you pass this amendment.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment, but I absolutely agree that our choices have led to these difficulties, and we need to address this in this budget. Mr. President, I don't think this is the solution, but I look forward to voting for a third reading amendment that provides a solution to this problem. I think the look at a bankruptcy contingency fund, as you noted and others have noted, is not necessarily the appropriate path. Taking funds from the locations where they're being sourced to provide that contingency hurt other programs in a way that I don't think is supportable. But again, this is a real problem, and this is one that we need to address through the budget. So hopefully we can come up with a better idea.
Further discussions before the sponsor takes his second time final, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, I did have the opportunity to serve on Title 25 this past interim. And in Title 25, that's where we have our voluntary and involuntary commitments. The Department of Health is experiencing at this time just short of $25 million, and that's in that biennium because of our mental health issues that we're having throughout the state. So I don't believe that we can really do much with the Department of Health other than to allow the director to flex money to that mental health institution for our Title 25 folks. And so this, I think, will extremely stress the department, and so I think in a good year, in a year where we have a surplus, this is a good idea, but I don't think it's a good idea right now. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion, Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just want to add to what my good friend from Natrona County mentioned in terms of the payment schedule. And the one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that, I think we all agree that the payment schedule is low. But what also adds to the difficulty of some of these providers is the turnover of staff. As I think most of us know, many of the staff members are paid minimum wage. And because of that, sometimes they end up working for one of the convenience stores, which pay a lot more than some of these providers receive. So some of the providers run into trouble because of the overtime pay that sometimes is necessary to take care of, as we've all agreed, our very vulnerable population. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I don't care how we do it, but after we get out of here on third reading, we've got to get this fixed. There's something wrong in this whole system, Mr. President. The Department of Health has studied and come up with kind of a funding model that they eventually had to throw out because it was just junk, Mr. President, total junk. I don't know what's happening with this whole area. It spills over into the Life Resource Center as well, Mr. President. We have had, I can't even count, maybe a half dozen superintendents of the Life Resource Center in just a couple of years. There is just something terribly rotten about the management of developmental disabilities and their programs and going on. And while I'm worried that if we just say, well, you have more flexibility to the director, that doesn't address the priorities here that we're trying to convey, that they have to pay attention to something that is very rotten. Thank you, and needs to be fixed. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further members for their, before the sponsor takes his second time? Senator Scott, for your second final time.
Mr. President, thank you. I will attempt to answer the questions, and there's enough of them so I may run out of time. With regard to the speed of which things can be done, we found in the experience with the nursing home difficulties, in both cases, when you've got an institution with very vulnerable individuals that's about to have to dump them into the emergency room and then send them on to other state institutions, perhaps, where it'll be more costly, that gets the attention of the governor and the top management, and things get done very rapidly if they've got the legal authority. So I think that'll work. With regard to the bankruptcy question, the fund is titled that way, but when you look at the specific language, there doesn't have to be a bankruptcy to trigger that. It has to be necessary to keep them in business. You may well wind up with a receiver here. But the receiver can only make the thing work if he can fix the problem. And where the problem is that they are systematically underfunded, because that's the way Medicaid does business, and it hasn't been sensitive to the fact they're dealing with people who are dependent on Medicaid. You've got to have a source of funds for that receiver to be able to draw on, or they're going out of business. And that will mean some communities that have this service will lose them. That will mean some very frail individuals have to be transferred to Lander because there isn't going to be any place else to put them. They'll wind up in the local emergency room temporarily, and they'll land on Lander's doorstep, and that will cost us real money. That's an expensive way to go. And if we lose very many, we'll exceed the capacity of that place and we'll have to send them out of state, and that'll be really expensive. Now, with regard to the discussion that bailing out bankrupt outfits or nearly bankrupt outfits is not a good policy, and that's generally correct. In the nursing home cases, you had in the one case it was an embezzlement that led to difficulties. In the other case, it was bad management. They lost them in a whole bunch of states from that outfit. These are different. These are local nonprofit providers that are dependent on Medicaid anywhere from 67, 68% to 95% of their income. They are in trouble. They are all in trouble, all 10 of them, because we have been systematically underfunding them. And I think part of it may be, I don't think there's anybody, I haven't met anybody at the department, that's had the experience of having to meet a payroll. They've all, you know, they're good bureaucrats, but it's different when you're feeding off the public treasury and we worry about can you make the payroll. These outfits are private outfits. Their assets have come so far down that we are at real risk of losing anywhere from 2 to 4 of them out of 10 in this coming biennium. So we need an emergency fund to get us through the next year and a half. And then we need to do some other things to correct the fundamental problem, which is us and our department. And we've got some other amendments coming, Mr. President, to deal with that. With regard to the flexibility in the health department, really, I listened very carefully when the committee, Appropriations Committee, was explaining to us yesterday, Mr. President, about the Title 25 money and how that wasn't funded. They just gave the Department of Health flex to get the money. So that's a lot more money than we're talking about here. We're talking about a $2.6 million contingency fund, which is incidentally computed by biennializing the operating losses of the programs whose current ratio gives me concern. So it's based on what's actually going on. We need to take some other steps on Title 25. We've got bill coming through to do that. I think it'll reduce the hit that much. He's got enough flexibility there to get it done if we give him the tools and if we give him the ability, which this amendment does, to deal with a sudden crisis. And again, it's not that any of these organizations are being poorly managed. It's that they're all in trouble and all losing money. And some of them have stronger balance sheets than others, and we could discuss how they got that way. But that's the fact they are. They used to be profitable. They are no longer because of the way we have done things. We as the state of Wyoming. So we have a special obligation, and if we don't meet it, the consequences are going to be a lot more expensive. So for all those reasons, I urge the adoption of this amendment.
There is an appropriation. We're on second reading number one to Senate File 1. Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen? No. Co?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel? No. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Escobel?
Hold on. Floyd, we're on second amendment number one.
Escobel? Escobel, aye. Closing vote. Closing.
Hicks, I do no. Or no to I.
Hicks, no to I. Closing vote. Meyer. Oh. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 16 aye, 14 no.
Senate file, second reading number one to Senate file number one has passed. Senator Meyer, would you like privilege of the floor?
Yes, I would, Mr. President. Thank you very much. Folks, we got some more kids from Trail Elementary.
All
right. Right back here. And they're with their teacher, Mrs. Fulmer. So would you help me welcome to the Senate?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Hooray.
Senator Buck's daughter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of floor, please.
You may have it.
I'd like to welcome the town council and Mayor Byers.
Let's try that again, Senator. I did not get the right mic. If you don't mind repeating it, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like the Senate to welcome the town of Star Valley Ranch, Mayor Byers, and the town council to the Senate chamber.
Senator Driscoll.
Privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
Fellow senators, please join me in welcoming the esteemed mayor of Sundance, Paul Brooks, back in the corner.
Welcome. Second reading amendment number 31. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 31.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 31 to Senate file 1 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is straightforward. The 900 series of the state treasurer's operations budget was cut through the global cuts, just like most of the rest of the budgets that we've heard about. This amendment would restore that 900 series operations cut, just that cut, for the treasurer's budget, recognizing that this 900 series budget is basically paying for the banking and financing and administration fees that the treasurer uses for financial operations. It's effectively a fixed cost, and I'm not entirely sure how you cut that budget without then cutting the treasurer's ability to manage our $19 billion of wealth in a way that that may or may not be covered. I assume that there would have to be then some reconfiguring of budgets and B-11s to take care of it. But this would simply restore that $87,000. And I'd say, Mr. President, vote it up or vote it down, but I think it's important for us to make sure that we have the ability to manage that well.
Senator Ross.
Mr. President, this I'm gonna speak against the amendment at this point in time. This was debated in our in JAC. Some banking fees. We suggested that they use some of their management fees to cover these banking fees. They were somewhat reluctant to do that. So this is just an additional appropriation to the office. While it's not that great amount when you're in the spectrum of things, I suggest that we retain the JAC position.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is the first amendment we have seen that's just an increase in the general fund. So I might as well explain now why I'm going to vote against such amendments. We've got a major financial crisis facing the state with the downturn in our principal industries, and I might add the probable downturn in our capital gains earnings off the permanent funds, which we won't know for sure how much or what happens until the end of June, but I think it's a risk you've got to recognize. The Appropriations Committee, Mr. President, has given us a budget. that stretches our reserves in the general fund area and the school area and matches our spending there such that the burn rate on our reserves net carries us through 10 years of a downturn. From past experience, this downturn is likely to last at least that long. We may have to, in future years, do some more economizing so it can last a few years longer. But if we just go and add money to the budget, and these little things, yeah, you know, $87,000 to an ordinary citizen looks like a lot of money. It's not so much in terms of the state budget as a whole. But you add a few thousand here and a few thousand there, and after a while it adds up to real money. Yeah, the federal saying, Mr. President, is billions, not thousands, but that's the difference between us, and they have a printing press, too. Mr. President, I think we need to resist all of these kind of amendments. If it's really that important, we need to find a funding source for it. And I think just increasing, given the situation that we're in, is a mistake. So I hope we will defeat all these kind of amendments.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I think if I'm going to make a blanket statement, I hope that we prioritize all of our spending and put it in the priorities of all the spending that we have in the budget and just don't say yes or don't say no because you have some overarching idea about which direction we should be going. At the end of the day, we'll get a balanced budget. But there are some of these things here that are coming up, and they're priorities. And they might not be beautiful buildings that are going to last for 50 years, but we have other legacies that we need to think about, and that's some of the different programs out there that do a heck of a lot of good for people. And we got to think about our legacies, not just in buildings, but in the outcome of what government does for people. And so when you think about it, put it in your perspective, use your own priorities, but not just a blanket amendment saying no to everything, Mr. President.
Senator Ross, for your first time, second time.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out that, and I think it was alluded to, but this is part of those the austerity cuts that we took. It wasn't that we just went in and targeted the treasurer in this area. I mean, it's part of the 901 kind of austerity cuts across the board, and I just wanted to make that clear.
Second. Senator Scott, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I wanted to respond to the comment about priorities, which I thought was quite thoughtful. Yes, we ought to be setting priorities. And, Mr. President, the Appropriations Committee has done some priority setting. We can reasonably disagree with that, and there will be times where we should disagree with that. But the way I think you ought to do that is you see a program that needs more money in the priority setting, find one that needs less. That's what priority is all about. You increase something that's important and decrease something that isn't quite as important. And amendments like that, I think we ought to consider on their merits. This one just increases the total spending, and I think that's a mistake.
Further discussion? Senator Rothfuss, for your second and final time.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my second and final time, I'd encourage the body to support this, and It's an interesting discussion, and you know, I'm always happy to be the bill that leads to the entire budget discussion that everyone's going to base their philosophy on for $87,000. So thanks for that. Good to be budget number four, right? But that aside, Mr. President, the reality is the idea of across-the-board cuts, that was something that JAC took and then worked through the budget, and we all understand why that happened. But at the same time, across-the-board cuts as a concept always has the difficulty of sometimes you don't actually want to make the cut because it doesn't make sense. It's not a good investment in the state. If you've got a positive return on investment, if it's a mandatory fee, a mandatory expense to operate the state, then that across-the-board cut doesn't necessarily make sense. And in terms of prioritization, these are mandatory banking fees that are a function of the amount of wealth that the treasurer has invested and in banking at any given time. So the amount of money that is going to be spent on this through the 900 series is fixed. That's the right answer. There's going to be an amount paid, and there's really no way to cut that because we have $19 billion of wealth that has to be managed. So it just will be shuffled out of another budget, and that'll mean a bigger cut to a different budget. What this amendment tries to do is simply recognize that this is not a budget where a austerity measure is reasonable because you can't really have an austerity measure applied to banking fees. So, Mr. President, I'd ask the body to support this amendment. It is a relatively small amendment. We have a lot of other amendments ahead of us where there is prioritization and philosophy that's going to go into that, and I believe we're going to have robust debates. But on this one here, these banking fees are going to get paid. There's no way you can cut that. And we generate an awful lot of the revenue for our state through the treasurer's investment. This is a relatively trivial amount of money compared to that total return on investment. It's a wise investment for the state of Wyoming to continue to maintain paying our banking fees. Question.
Question on second reading amendment number 31 to Senate File 1. It involves an appropriation. Roll call.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns? No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Esquivel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger? No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Hastert? Aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 4 aye, 26 no.
Second reading amendment number 31 to Senate File 1 has failed. Senator Coe.
Privilege of the floor.
You may.
I'd like to introduce somebody who's so special, who was the majority floor leader when I was president of the Senate in 01 and 02 and went on to become the first woman president of the Wyoming Senate. Please welcome former Senator April Bremer Kuntz.
Hey! Welcome back, Madam President. Glad to have you here. Second reading amendment number 2. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 2.
Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move adoption of this amendment. And as you can see, it increases the amount from the general fund in the amount of $2,100,000. This is in order to continue to add to that tax refund for the disabled and elderly. And, you know, we've heard quite a bit just in the last half an hour about taking care of those that are the most vulnerable. And that we are facing a major financial crisis. Well, I submit to you that the people that I'm talking about over here have been facing a life crisis for some time. I had a printout spreadsheet passed out which shows the number of applications in your respective counties over the last couple of years and the number of applications that have been approved. And, you know, just the top four, Sheridan County has had the highest number of applications, Laramie County, Natrona, and Park County. Interestingly enough, it seems like there has been an increase in the last couple of years of number of applications, and I would imagine that might be because of maybe foreclosures, more people are renting, this type of thing. But even though the numbers over here are in regard to the applications, for example, for 2014, the applications statewide were 2,315. Now, it talks about the applications. We're not sure about the households, the number of people in the household. And I would submit that some of these individuals, elderly and disabled, are probably taking care of some of their grandchildren. And personally, you know of some cases where people are taking care of their great-grandchildren. So it's not only the individual applicant that we're looking at, but looking at others similarly situated. So with that, Mr. President, I would ask that that this amendment be approved. It is a financial situation, but submit that if we don't do something for this population, we'll have to do a lot more in the future. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This was
Mike. Thank you. You're good.
Thank you, Mr. President. This was a tough vote in Appropriations Committee, but we didn't do it lightly. Just again, to give you some history, we visited about in the late evening of how many weeks ago is it we did the first reading on this bill? Anyway, in 2003, there was this program began with a $7.4 million appropriation in 2003 when we were running billion-dollar surpluses. Ultimately, you've seen the effect. It's been an effective program. I would submit to you that the increases, Mr. President, are because more people know about it, and it's if you gauge the success of a program, how well you can give away free stuff, the fact that it grows isn't necessarily good. However, one of the ways that we do this, two things I would remind you is you'll find that there's another tax credit available to the elderly and disabled and elderly in the Department of Health. In addition, I would remind you that property owners who fall into this category also have availability to them the ability to defer their property taxes indefinitely. That the property tax deferral is a lien against your property, but it simply goes in and is a lien against your property. And then upon the subsequent sale of your home or upon your death, prior to it transferring to your heirs, your property taxes can then be paid out of that amount. That property tax deferral program is in 39-13-107. Small B, Romanet 3. That basically this is available, the property tax deferral program, which it provides essentially the same relief by not requiring you to pay your property taxes out of your existing income, is available to anybody who has limited income, meaning 250% is defined by the statute of the four-member household federal poverty guideline. That means anybody who has incomes less than $60,625 per year in the current year in 2016 can apply for property tax deferral. Other requirements are that if you're over the age of 62, you can apply for property tax deferral. If you have or are subject to Social Security disability, you can apply for property tax deferral under this program.
The only other requirement on there, other than those, is that you have to have owned your property for at least 10 years. So if you've been in your home for at least 10 years and you meet any of those qualifications, you are able to defer your property tax payments indefinitely. And so with that relief, there is relief that's available so that they don't have to spend money out of their existing income to, in order to survive. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd urge you to reject this amendment and vote no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Senator Meyer? Mr. Chairman, I guess a couple of questions on the property tax deferral. Does that prohibit you from having a reverse mortgage, which is available under the IRS code, so you can have, basically monthly payments, so you can pay your utility bills and other things like that? I would think that if you have a property tax deferral, that's a lien against the property, and it might preclude you from getting a reverse mortgage, which is one of the things that elderly can't avail themselves to. So maybe some questions on that or answers on that. Then I'm not so clear that this isn't the revenues bill that pays Department of Health for the elderly tax credit, and it's just a pass-through. So maybe some distinction between this program and the one in Department of Health, because I had thought that Department of Health was just an administrative body and administered dollars that came from revenue, and it was just a wash-through. So maybe some discussion about these dollars and the Department of Health and where the Department of Health gets their dollars on that program. But in a general sense, gosh, I hate balancing our budget on the back of the elderly and disabled and building new buildings to do it with basically their, I mean, what are we going to do to them? I mean, really? Come on, guys.
Let's keep the debates, take the personality out of the debates. We debate issues, and we keep to the issues. Senator Ross.
I did keep to the issues.
Just to answer the good senator's question with regards to the program through the Department of Health, that is totally unrelated to this this tax rebate. Secondly, the funds that we already appropriate through the Department of Health are also general fund dollars. So it's not like we don't have money going to help this population. Remember, I told you yesterday that the governor required each of the departments to come with a list of their priorities. And so, this didn't fall like I can't remember where it was in the priority list. I don't have the budget in front of me, but our recollection is that when we looked at something like this, we looked at it because it was low on the priority list.
Just to clarify, folks, I mean, I know that emotions are high, but you have to be careful to use words. That the rules are no person may indulge in personalities, impugn the motives of members. And when you say certain things and impugn the motives of others, that's prohibited under the decorum and debate. We stick to the issues. People have a right to stand for their issues. And it's improper to impugn the motives of your colleagues. We're back on debate. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against this particular motion, I can remember the debates in my early years here in the legislature and put this program in. And a good part of the reason for doing it was that our energy booms in those days were running up the cost of living for particularly the elderly people on a fixed income. And this was a device that was intended to give them some share in the prosperity that all the rest of us in the state were experiencing because of the mineral booms. Mr. President, that rationale for this program does not apply in our current circumstances. We wish it did, but it doesn't. And I think for that reason, we do need to set some priorities here and avoid this amendment.
We're on the amendment. Senator Ross, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to make it specific, this was the last priority on the Department of Revenue's budget.
Further discussion? Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Also, maybe adding to the tall senator's comments, put together at a time when we had some very high property taxes in particular parts of our state. Great Recession seemed to even that out a little bit more. While I'd like to definitely help folks as much as we can, where we see it down on the priority list, it's we have to analyze our own priorities, so I'd stand against it.
Any further discussion before the sponsor takes his last time? Back to the sponsor for a second and last time, Senator Esquibel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess just a couple of comments in regard to a tall senator from Natrona County explaining how this program came into effect because of the boom times at that time. I guess I would submit that because the times are a little bit harder today, it's probably even more crucial that we look at helping our elderly and disabled in whichever way we can. So with that, I would ask for your approval. Thank you.
This does add an appropriation, requires a roll call. We're on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1. Roll call.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
Co?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Esquibel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson? No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 5-25-0.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1 has failed. Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much. Could I have a quick privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you so much. I would like to take just a minute. This afternoon, you're going to meet some of the WAMI students. So I wanted you to meet somebody who hopes to be a WAMI student. He's a senior at the University of Wyoming majoring in microbiology. He's from Rock Springs, just so you know. But the reason I wanted him on the floor here is he is the gold medal recipient from the Wyoming Congressional Award Youth Development Program, Dalton Grube from Rock Springs.
Senator, I noticed we've doubled the number of senators that are female in the office that chambers today. You should feel good. Senator Wasserberger.
Oh, I'm just standing.
Oh, you're just... He It's a bad habit from the House. All right. Second reading amendment number 3, if the reading clerk would please read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 3.
Senator Perkins.
President, I'd move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 1 and ask the body to vote aye. What we've got here is just as the Joint Appropriations Committee put the budget to bed, Mr. President, in fact, that day we were working on it was the announcement that the Supreme Court had issued a stay of the Clean Energy Plan rule in West Virginia versus et al. Versus EPA. Having consulted both with staff and also with the folks over at DEQ about this stay and listening to news reports came in, all over the country people are ordering and asking that folks stand down because of the stay on the development of the plan to create the clean energy plan, the compliance plan, and that which was due at the end of September of this year. So what this footnote does, and this has been reviewed by the department, and they were fine with it. They thought there's some little bit of work that they've got to do that they want to be precluded from, but they thought that this did not prohibit it from that. But ultimately, it is a stand-down order so that appropriations can't be expended to continue to work on that plan that's currently been stayed by the Supreme Court. Would ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Speaking on the amendment, members of the Senate, it's been a delicate balance between having a state implementation plan that was required by law or a federal implementation plan, and there was a timeline set out there when we had to do one or the other. We were proceeding along with a state implementation plan because none of us want to have to rely on the feds to put that plan into place. This stay is appropriate because we do not now need to have to worry about that drop-dead date, so I would ask for your support for it.
Further discussion? Senator Von Fladen.
For the sponsor, I'm just curious. We believe there'll be enough time after they pull a court stay that we can implement and not or produce a plan, because otherwise I'd hate to see us come up short and be in a deadline.
Further discussion, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment, and I understand the interest in the amendment, but in your Minerals Committee, we had extensive testimony on the Clean Power Plan, on the development of the state implementation plan and the federal implementation plan. We actually had legislation that would preclude us from developing that state implementation plan at one point that we ended up rejecting. And, Mr. President, the reason we rejected the legislation that would delay us was that industry, our Department of Environmental Quality, and the Public Services Commission all strongly supported us developing that state implementation plan and being able to work on that, recognizing how bad it would be for the state of Wyoming if we were forced into the federal implementation plan. And those are the only two choices, just to be clear. So there is a stay. That's absolutely correct. But the stay does not eliminate the rule and regulation. And that rule has dates in it of when you either have to have an approved state implementation plan or be forced into the federal implementation plan, which would be much worse for energy in Wyoming. So while that stay is in place, it is true. There's no obligation, certainly, for us to act within the Clean Power Plan. But if at some point in the near future that stay is lifted, I don't know why we would have an expectation that the dates would automatically change. I see no reason for that. So as a result, this path we're taking right now, where we allow our Department of Environmental Quality to at least be working on this topic, which is pretty much one of the things they do to maintain the fact that we keep our primacy on these types of issues, is important to the state of Wyoming. And obviously, DEQ is not going to be wasting their time. They're not going to be spending day and night trying to develop the state implementation plan in the context of the court stay. But precluding them from working on it without certainty of the future ties our hands behind our back when we need flexibility available. The difference between the likely federal implementation plan and the state implementation plan, Mr. President, is that the federal implementation plan would probably be a mass-based CO2 production calculation, which means the total amount of CO2 we produce. What we would likely opt for as a state under that is a per kilowatt hour, per energy produced basis, which is better for us. That means that we can actually increase our production of energy, renewable power, for example, without as significant of a decrease in our coal power production or natural gas power production to help our position. That's the best possible path forward for the Wyoming economy. It actually allows us to grow into a solution instead of constrain into a solution, Mr. President. And for us, just for the sake of effectively sticking it to the administration, to limit our flexibility when what we need most right now is that flexibility to assure our continued economic development and the viability of coal in the state of Wyoming is a poor choice. So I understand the sentiment. I understand the appeal of saying, yeah, we had a stay, so let's go ahead and not do anything. I think the last thing our power producers and our coal producers would want us to do at this point in time is hinder our flexibility moving forward in the future, because that is the testimony that they brought to our Minerals Committee. And it is clearly in our interest to find a path forward for coal, oil, and natural gas in the state of Wyoming. This stops us from any exploration along that path, Mr. President. On and against the amendment.
Folks, we're going to slow down here a minute. We're going to adhere to the rules of debate, and this is going to be a tough day for people, but ideas are going to get debated. And the use of a term in this instance is to say you're voting for this just to stick it to the administration violates the decorum of debate, because it impugns the motives of members voting. Nobody's going to be immune from these rules. We're going to get through the day. We're going to debate well. We're going to debate straight. If you need, go back to Chapter 13 of your Masons and look at it. That does impugn the reason for people voting. That's outside the rules. Thank you. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. My apologies to the body for making that statement. It wasn't appropriate.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. There again, for the amendment. Mr. President, your Select Committee on Federal Natural Resource Management Policy also heard from the Department of Environmental Quality about this very sensitive, important issue. And quite frankly, Mr. President, that we were proceeding with to have a state implementation plan for the reason that I mentioned just a little bit earlier. But if, in fact, we have this stay along with the Supreme Court decision of 5-4 does not implement the state of Wyoming or prevent us from moving ahead at the time if it's so dictated. So I still think this is a good amendment. I would ask for your support.
Senator Case, I apologize. I let the sponsor go twice. I didn't ask you. Are you on this amendment?
I'm not the sponsor.
Oh, you're the sponsor. Good news. You get to talk. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thanks for being so considerate.
Not that I did have some other motive.
Mr. President, I am so happy about the Supreme Court stay. I think the Clean Power Plan is bad policy for Wyoming, bad policy for the country. Mr. President, though, that being said, we all know what the stay says. Certainly our executive branch knows what the state says in this agency. They have the ability to take that into consideration as they apply their budget, and I'm confident that they will. I don't think we need to do this kind of micromanagement, Mr. President, and I do feel that it is a bit of a statement of position, if you will, Mr. President, that probably is inappropriate to put in our budget for the exact same reasons that we don't use those kind of terms on the floor. It doesn't really reflect well. We trust this agency. It's well managed. We have a great executive, and they'll handle this, Mr. President. They'll be very glad not to spend money on this if it's not necessary, but I do trust them.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his final last time. Senator Perkins, for your final and last time on this debate.
Mr. President, just to go back and answer a couple of the questions that have come up. When the Supreme Court issued the stay, they took and my instructions were to staff as they drafted this amendment was to go back to address that very concern. What happens if the stay is listed or ultimately the stay is unsuccessful? The opponents of the rule are unsuccessful. What happens? Does that mean all of a sudden that if on July 1st that's lifted? And all of a sudden we've got that initial plan, kind of the phase one or the level one planning for the state implementation plan that would be due in September, if that's immediately due. They've gone back and checked that, because that's exactly what I didn't want to do this amendment unless that put them in that box. And the staff came back, conferred with the department, and the department said, no, that's not going to be a problem. So, going back to the stay itself and why I think it's important. One, I agree with my good friend from Lander. I think the clean air rule, as it's commonly referred to, is bad policy. But also, when you look at a stay, there's a couple of things that they look at. One of which, the items when you look at a stay, they look at where's the irreparable harm. Where's the irreparable harm, and which party is going to be irreparably harmed. The other one that they look at is what's the likelihood of success in the underlying lawsuit. And my understanding is that the ruling by the Supreme Court is that, one, that there is irreparable harm. We found that out in some previous administrative rules that by the time that they were struck down as being unconstitutional, that everybody had gone so far in complying with the rule that it was de facto in effect anyway. And so, if you come back and looking back, Mr. President, they also did recently there's a stay issued on the waters of the United States. There have now been a stay issued on the Clean Energy Plan. And so, in doing this, you look at that, the fact that the Supreme Court has now found there's potentially irreparable harm if the rule moves forward, and also a high likelihood of success by the underlying proponents, which would be those opponents to the rule. That's a different story. That puts it in a different light. This has been worked with the department. The department was specifically asked the staff to check with the department because I didn't want to jam them up with this amendment. And the report that we got back was they looked at it very carefully. There's a few things that they're going to do and that they don't feel precluded by this amendment from doing because they've got to do some things they've got to do anyway that may also benefit effort in putting forth that plan later on. They didn't feel they were precluded from that, and so ultimately they did not have and did not voice opposition to this amendment. And with that, Mr. President, I'd ask for the body to vote aye.
Let's, if we could do the roll call since we're right at the end, and we'll come back to your privilege if that will work for you. Thank you. The debate having ended on second reading number 3 to Senate file 1. This does not have an appropriation.
We can just do voice vote.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion and at this moment has been adopted. Senator Anderson, privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. President. I'm confused. I just need a understanding on that amendment on line 8, it says page 17, line 1, after quality, insert 3. And I did that. I inserted 3, but no other one has a 3 in the title. And I don't know why we're doing that.
I assume that the 3 is a footnote, so it goes a superscript 3, and then the footnote goes down below. Does that help explain it? So the 3 simply goes at the end of the text. It becomes the reference to the footnote, and then the footnote goes down below at the bottom at 18, line 5. Does that make sense to you?
Mr. President, I would understand it that way, too, if we'd done that in any other sections, but it's not consistent with any other sections doing that. No other sections have that in the title that there's 1, 2, or 3, or 4 footnotes. Anyway, just a question.
I think the... Are you looking at the budget bill, or are you looking at the cheat sheet? Okay, in the budget bill, you'll see that in numerous lines, for the line of the appropriation. So it says there's a line in appropriation, and many times there's footnotes after that, and then the footnotes restrict the expenditure of that line item appropriation. I could show you some of those later, but it is commonly used. We could track this in to make sure it's correct, though. Senator Scott, and then I'll come to Senator Rothfuss.
As I think it's correctly done, as I read it, what they've done is they've put the three footnote on the title so it applies to the whole department budget, and you could do it by applying it to virtually every line item. I think that would be confusing and clutter things up, and their intention was to apply it to the whole department. So I think the amendment is properly drafted, even though, Mr. President, the senator is accurate that this is unusual.
Senator Rothfuss, same explanation? So that is the explanation. It's a footnote intended to address the entire budget, and so it was put after the title. We're at second reading amendment number 4. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 4.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 4 to Senate file 1 and ask for the body's positive consideration. Mr. President, when we were reading in, explaining the bill yesterday, actually I guess it was the day before yesterday now, on state parks and cultural resources, I pointed out that footnote number 15, the JAC reduced the governor's rec by $200,000, of $200,000 by 100, leaving $100,000 for the Wyoming Conservation Corps. That footnote is mistaken. What the JAC actually did was wiped out the Wyoming Conservation Corps entirely. I bring this amendment because I, for one thing, there are no amendments to, since it was mistaken, there were no amendments to remove that $100,000, so I'm thinking the body must approve it because nobody said anything about it. But, Mr. President, when you're looking at especially on JAC, and you're looking at different bills and different appropriations to see how we're getting our money's worth out of it. And sometimes it's just not the spending itself. Sometimes it's what the bang you're getting for your buck, both tangible and intangible. And the Wyoming Conservation Corps was started in 2008. It was actually started, the idea was originally by, at that time, a student at the University of Wyoming. And they've been enormously successful. They have actually saved the state hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years by having university students go out into the forest areas and state parks and so forth and fix trails, remove brush, and do a lot of the deferred maintenance we have on state parks. We're getting a lot of money. I can't say what percentage or what multiple of the money we're getting. And so, Mr. Chairman, the other thing it's done is for the students themselves. It gives them an appreciation of the outdoors, and it gives them an appreciation of Wyoming. One of the problems we've had for decades in this state are college students, once they leave college, they then leave the state and they're gone. This, I think, is an enticement for the students to stay in the state of Wyoming, or do everything they can to get back to the state. So, Mr. President, it's my recommendation and the amendment that we put $100,000 back in. It's only half of what the previous appropriation had been, but to keep this Wyoming Conservation Corps going.
Okay. And once again, I understand techniques, but let's avoid personalities by saying it's my recommendation. I think your motion is, and you debate the issue. You're bringing your personality into debate. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, thank you for giving me credit for having a personality.
You have more than most, I know that. You've got tons. Okay. Discussion on the motion. Discussion. You know, he's the fastest retort I've ever met. No discussion. There is an appropriation roll call on the appropriation. Actually, on the motion. Thank you.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebau? No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen? No. Coe? No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Esquivel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
Peterson, no. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote?
Boner,
aye to no.
Kinski,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 8 aye, 22 no.
Second reading amendment number 4 has failed. Second reading amendment number 29, if the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 29.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, unless the body just wants to vote on that again, I'd ask to withdraw second reading amendment number 29.
Second reading amendment number 29 has been withdrawn.
Yeah.
Second reading amendment number 10. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 10, corrected copy.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 10 to Senate file 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Now, what this amendment will do is it will designate $712,500 within the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust to go towards weed and pest management. This had previously been in the Office of State Lands and Investment budget, but those monies were taken out before the recommendation even reached our Joint Appropriations Committee. If you'll see, I have a handout relative to this amendment. It is a visual depiction of all our state lands, and in the red, you'll see that's where all the treatment has happened on those state lands. This is basic maintenance for our state lands to ensure that we do, in fact, take care of the land and make sure that noxious weeds are not allowed to grow and multiply. As long as we have these state lands, we need to be responsible stewards of those lands. And so we're just reflecting those priorities within the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust account to make sure that ensure that those basic needs are taken care of first. And then, you'll see there's still a significant appropriation for the rest of the resource trust to do other projects. So for those reasons, I'd urge your support of this amendment.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, folks, what this does is restores the governor's reduction to this particular budget. So we did not touch that. I'd urge you to stay with that and to vote no.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and opposed to this, folks, we need to take care of our state lands and the weeds, but this isn't the route to do it. We've formed a Wildlife Natural Trust Fund, has a great board. If they want to use it to treat weeds with, I would suggest they go individually with individual projects, the board, and get ranked right in with the rest of them on a priority process. Long term, I do think we got to figure out how we're going to take care of our state grounds, but this is the incorrect vehicle to do so. I urge you to resist breaking into the Wildlife Trust Fund and telling them how to do their business. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, as I read this amendment, it doesn't appropriate new funds and doesn't necessarily require a roll call, so I ask for the yeas and nays.
Thank you. Senator Cope.
Innovative in how we found the money, to be honest with you. This is a good program that is really needed, and you know, in our ag communities in particular, huge deal up in my country up there. Toad flax and all these other nasty weeds that we crawl off or into sometimes around this place. But this is a good amendment, and I think that this does what it's supposed to do, and we don't go to the general fund. I don't think it's going to decimate the trust. It makes sense to me, and I'd ask that you support it.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment, it's my understanding that the trust has already funded projects on the order of around $4 million previously for weed and pest control, and that there's basically an application process in place. So there's nothing that precludes projects related to this topic from going in and making their proposal, making their case, and being prioritized. What this does is circumvent that prioritization process by the legislature, so we put our priorities in instead of the experts that we have working with the Wildlife Trust. Mr. President, I would suggest that we leave it to the Wildlife Trust to prioritize, and they may well spend this or more on weed and pest programs if they see that as the highest priority for the state.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. On and in favor of the amendment, and my colleague from Albany County just made the best point about prioritization. That's why we're elected. We come down here to set priorities, and if you look at the weed and pest issues or weed issues that are out there for our school trust lands, it's huge. I'm not going to pass that responsibility on to an appointed board. I think this body makes that decision. I think this is money well spent. It's a problem we have, and we should take care of that problem. To remove that money now just as a step backwards. So let's go ahead and vote for this. Let's give the tools to the SLID board and OSLI to do what they're supposed to do and control weeds on our school sections.
Further discussion? Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the amendment, we've got a obligation to take care of those state lands just like other landowners do, and we've got to keep the weeds down so that the other landowners don't have that weeds encroaching on their property. So on and for the amendment.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, so let's talk about the overall weed control programs that we have available to us. First, every county in the county of the state of Wyoming assesses a mill levy, I think up to 2 mills, to control weeds. Nothing and that assessment at those counties prohibits using that money to work on trust lands. Also, if you remember the budget when we were going through this, I specifically asked one of the Appropriations Committee members how much money was left in the Trust Land Preservation Enhancement Account under the Office of State Lands and Investment. And there is a $500,000 in that to do exactly what this is. Straight State Trust Land Preservation and Enhancement Account. So, you know, if we want to do weed control, we've provided them the mechanism to do that. Each county has a funding mechanism to do that. There's absolutely no reason to go in and raid one account when this is already, weed programs are already well funded. There's $500,000 in the Office of State Lands Investment. Again, I would kind of concur. Maybe we ought to let those top five elected officials determine what the priority for those projects are in those state lands, and there's money in that account to take care of it. I'd encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, $500,000 won't cover it, that's for sure. Those mills are on private lands. We can't tax state lands. There's no payment in lieu of taxes for state lands, so there's no money directed out of those lands to go for weed and pest control. All of that funds has to go to the Common School Land Fund. So, you know, there's no income directly derived out of that. Yeah, we did make provisions to try to get to establish account, to try to keep up on these lands and improve them somewhat. Frankly, we haven't put enough money in that because if you look at the private land right next to these lands, it's worth a heck of a lot more because the people that have money to invest and have invested in it have invested in it and improved those lands and improved the improvements on those lands, and they're worth a lot more. We've been really lackadaisical in keeping up with improvements on our lands, and here the executive branch is even more lackadaisical about keeping the weeds off these lands. And folks, an old thing about weeds is when they start, you got to nip them in the bud. And if you don't have any money to do that, these things just grow and they grow and they grow, and they're called noxious for a reason, because they'll take over the state lands, then they'll start taking over the private lands. I mean, noxious weeds are a real pain, Mr. President. They are. We've seen them up and down the creeks in our areas. You've seen them up and down the creeks in all of your areas. They get up on top of that forest land. They get started there. The seeds go into the streams. They travel the whole length and breadth of this state. And you got to catch them up high, and you got to get them on these state lands. Mr. President, I don't know if this is a correct funding source, but I tell you, by the end of this budget, we better have this one under control, or we're in trouble, Mr. President.
We're in real trouble.
We're in trouble. I mean, it's like the Alamo, Mr. President. I mean, if you let them have a little bit, Mr. President, you're in trouble.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Case. See if you can outdo that.
Mr. President, I don't even think I can try. But I do think that there's a noxious infestation happening here. And this amendment represents the tip of that noxious infestation, in that this legislature and the people of Wyoming established the Resource and Wildlife Trust for really particular purpose. And it has to do with preserving our vistas, our landscape, our species, keeping Wyoming for the people of Wyoming in 100 years. That's the way I look at it. And I think it's money well spent. And in 100 years, we're going to be so glad. Now, I detect that there's an undercurrent that people think that either the money's not being spent, or they've possibly put money away and haven't spent it fast enough when they had that opportunity. But they've done some great things. And there's, if you want to look at the big picture of things, I think this is part of the strategy to prevent the sage-grouse from being listed, Mr. President. It's part of the way to preserve open space with the easements, which that's what really creates value for people that live next door. If you have a house backing up on public land or protected land, you know what? Your place is more valuable because of that very vista, that reason, and that's going to be there for all time, we hope, so that our grandchildren can see that, Mr. President. So this is kind of it's a little bit noxious, Mr. President, in that I see that there's other amendments coming to go after this money, but we have a reason for this money.
No, we're not going to talk about other amendments. That's one of the disciplines.
Okay, Mr. President, but sometimes these things spread, these noxious ideas, Mr. President.
You're about as clever as they come. You're close. Getting real close.
Mr. President, I ask you to resist the amendment. We've got better reason to have this trust. And yes, we need to do weed control on state land. We need to be responsible owners and husbands of the land. But we have money available to do that. Let's use it.
Senator Driscoll, your second time?
Second time. We've established some really good facts as far as noxious weeds and how bad they are and how bad they need treated. I've lived in the middle of it. I've used programs on both ends of this. I represent to you, this is a great first step for them to go and apply to the Wildlife Trust Fund to do the program, because it happens to be one of the best administered state programs we have, folks. It's run with a skeleton staff. It's run phenomenally well. And they do something that's really novel for state government. They said, put together a plan when you come to us. What are you going to do about the weeds on your place? What are you going to do with the weeds on the state ground? And they come and say, actually, give us a plan for what you're going to do, and do it the right way. Let's get bang for our buck. This doesn't get bang for the buck. This slops a whole bunch of money in and says, let's keep doing the same old thing the same old way. I happen to be a huge defender of the Wildlife Trust Fund. It's one of the best spends of our dollars we've ever had in this state. It's lean. It's mean. You know, this agency's really good. It's run well. And we ought to be modeling other agencies and the way they do things off of it instead of trying to raid their funds, because they got funds and they guard them and they spend them wisely. Let's resist the efforts to take a raid on this fund.
Senator Feebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Real quick, like, we're not raiding this fund, and we're not talking about the ineffectiveness of it. It's done a great job. We understand that a lot of positive things have come from utilization of the Wildlife Trust Fund. It's just that now, today, there are different priorities. So I asked the body to consider our priorities and consider the importance of this in terms of the what we're trying to accomplish.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Everybody else is talking about it. I might as well talk too. The Mr. President, on and against the amendment, if you go back and look, the state lands, as my recollection is, administered through the Office of State Lands. And part of there's income that comes off those state lands, because most of those state lands, the vast majority of them, are owned by the school fund, or their school lands. And so there's income that comes off those lands, and my recollection is that part of the responsibility and part of the duty off that is to use a portion of that income stream to maintain and to keep those state lands in force, to keep them appropriate. I mean, that's part of the duty as a trustee over that land is, if you're a trustee over property, you can't let that go to seed. You can't let it be taken over by noxious weeds and those types of things. You've got to take care of that land. And so ultimately, that's the charge, one of the charges with the office in which we find this. I do believe that they have some resources available to do that. They came out with a recommendation that they could make this reduction. Now, I would also point out that when you go through and look at the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund, and while I certainly don't agree with everything that they've expended their money on over the years, overall, I have to admit that they do, for the most part, a pretty good job. But that being said, in looking at that and asking the director, I'd ask for director for some information, because we always look at the large projects. I want to take a look at some of the smaller projects that they did, because we don't see those individually in bills. And while there's a significant list of projects here, it's a number of pages, two per page, but there are two that talk about noxious. Specifically, there's one, a Black Mountain Juniper program that is going to help tear down some junipers, and I believe it's to remove some junipers. There's also aspen regeneration in here to get rid of some ingrowth there. But there are also, among those, there's a Brooks cheatgrass. Again, which is to eradicate, I believe, cheatgrass, which is another form of noxious weed. So as they take, as the Wildlife Trust Fund looks at this, they look at all these things. They look at wildlife corridors. They look at restoration of habitat. They look at all kinds of things. And ultimately, I think that we have to leave them to do their work. And if we see big core corrections need to be made, we shouldn't hesitate to do that. But for this, I think you ought to resist this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion before the sponsor takes his last time? Senator Boehner, welcome to the Senate. You get to bring it home.
Thank you, Mr. President. Certainly, thankful for the discussion, for the debate. And as was pointed out numerous times, certainly this is within the purview of the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust, taking care of noxious weeds. I submit to you that, as was stated before, this is not a raid. This is ensuring that they're using their funds to make up for the fact that we did have a significant reduction in another agency. So that reduction did take place. It's something that we have to acknowledge. And it's, to my understanding, and I could stand corrected, but to my understanding, it's different than a bigger project. What Office of the State Lands Investment did was more perhaps routine, more maybe even mundane than what the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust is. So we have to ensure that, given the realities of this fiscally constrained environment, that the more day-to-day maintenance of our state lands, especially our school sections, are accomplished in a proper manner. So that's us communicating to the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust personnel that they do, in fact, take care of that, and they are taking up that additional responsibility. So for those reasons, I urge that you support this amendment.
The ayes, and this actually has an appropriation. We're on second reading amendment number 10. Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye, Barnard.
Aye.
Aye, Bebout.
Aye.
Aye, Boner.
Aye.
Aye, Burns.
No.
No, Case.
No.
No, Christensen.
Aye.
Aye, Coe.
Aye.
Aye, Cooper.
No.
No, Kraft.
No.
No, Dockstetter.
No.
No, Driscoll.
No.
No, Emmerich.
Aye,
aye Escobel.
Aye.
Aye, Geis.
Aye.
Aye, Hastert.
No,
Hicks?
No.
No, Johnson?
No.
No, Kinski?
Aye.
Aye, Landon?
No.
No, Meyer?
No.
No, Pappas?
No.
No, Perkins?
No.
No, Peterson?
Aye.
Aye, Ross?
No.
No, Rothfuss?
No.
No, Scott?
No.
No, Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye, Wasserberger? No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Christensen, aye to no. Escobel, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 9 aye, 21 no.
Second reading number 10 has failed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move we recess until 1:45.
Any announcements? We do have some reports. Hold on the announcements. We do have some announcements, but we've got standing committee reports.
February 17, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 12, Vietnam War Commemoration 2, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Ross, Wasserberger, no, Senator Perkins. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Any other reports? Messages? Now we're at announcements. Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in about 15 minutes. Jonah Room, S18, to discuss Senate File 63, Economic Development Programs, Senate File 72, 70 miles per hour speed limit, Senate File 78, Office of Consumer Advocate repeal date.
Any other announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 1:45.